Okay, welcome back to the Investigative Journal on this February 2nd, 2015 day on our calendar. I'm your host, Greg Anthony, and you're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com. You can listen to my show every evening from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. That's on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. If not, then you can listen to it at 11 a.m. Pacific time on First Amendment, or you can go to my website at ArcticBeacon.com, ArcticBeacon. Okay, today I want to do a couple things. I want to play a second part of a show I did last week, Thursday or Friday, recounting an interview I did with Tony Gambino of the Gambino crime family. Eric Phelps joined me on that interview. That was done in 2007. I got about halfway through that, and then something came up Friday, and so I did not do the show then, the second part, and then literally got blown away Monday. I'm not talking by the Gambinos. No, I'm talking about the wind. And here in Southern California, down in San Diego, we had gusts where I was at on the coast, 75 to 80 miles an hour. And so trees went down near me, power lines went down, so we were just cleaning up the mess that was caused. And this was the I've never seen gusts. This lasted for all of Sunday. Started about 3 in the afternoon, went all through Sunday night, all through Monday till about 5 or 6 that evening, and started to calm down. So I just played my last week Monday show, but I wanted to continue with this Gambino story because it really connects the dots between the Vatican, the CIA, our government, and the Vatican, as well as the mob, working together. And if you don't, here's what happened when I did the story. People said, well, you can't believe an ex-con like Tony Gambino. He just gotten out of jail. He spent a 20-year sentence for racketeering. And I said, well, listen, you can't believe the Pope. You can't believe the President. You can't believe anybody in the CIA. I'd rather believe somebody like Tony Gambino, who has really nothing to lose. And so you make up your mind. Now, another thing on this, I didn't put this YouTube up. This was put up a long time ago. And if you don't think YouTube has a way of controlling how many people can go and get this, think again. Now, there's this fascination with the mob that is unbelievable. And if you go to this show, it should have drawn huge attention. Who doesn't want to listen to the Gambino, an interview with a guy, Tony Gambino? This is from the horse's mouth. You know how many hits it's got? 276. Now, if you move over and look at the other YouTubes, the Sammy Gravano interview, now we talked about Sammy. Now, Sammy, he ratted on John Gotti. And by the way, last week I said I didn't know what happened to Gotti. Well, he died, I think, in 2002 or 3 or 4. In prison. Sammy was put on the witness protection program, and I think in that same year, 2002, he got busted for running an ecstasy ring in Las Vegas, so he couldn't, here he is, and I think the reason he did it was he's bored. He's not used to just running, living the suburban lifestyle. So he gets involved with an ecstasy ring, gets a 20-year sentence, and he's up for parole this year. As we speak right now. So we'll see if he gets out. That would be, a couple years before his sentence is up. So we'll see what happens to Sammy. But when you look at the interview with Sammy on YouTube, now everybody wants to listen to Gravano because he's out there in the public eye. 642,000 hits. There was a Why Sam Giancana Killed JFK, 76,000 hits. Giovanni Gambino interview on NBC got 303,000 hits. So why wouldn't this interview get the same? And it's because the Vatican was mentioned. And so YouTube has a way, I don't know how they do it technically, but a way of controlling these hits. It has to be. Because if people are so fascinated with the mob, why wouldn't they want to read "The Vatican Runs the Mafia"? That's the little slogan on the movie or on the video, and that's why I think it gets screened, because in the title it says Vatican Runs the Mafia. Somebody ought to take this and change the title and see if they get hits. Get more hits. But, you know, I've been told this many, many times. You do YouTubes on the Vatican, you all of a sudden, nothing. You don't think they control the internet? Oh, here's one. The Vatican Corrupt Global Vatican. It only got 3,000 hits, right? Vatican Bank controls all banks, 4,000. Come on, somebody's talking here, not playing the game straight on the internet. Now, Ratzino Gambino, the Gambino's family of crime, which never mentions the Vatican in this, had 88,000. Unbelievable. So I'm convinced they can do it. I don't know how they do it technically, and I'm sure there's some computer geeks out there who can shed some light on that. But I wanted to play the Tony Gambino interview, and it's only about 20 minutes left, so I got the whole show. So I wanted to talk about something else that I watched over the weekend. Since the power was out, I had some tapes and some movies, so I watched Kill the Messenger and revived my interest in Gary Webb. Now, Gary Webb was he worked for the San Jose Mercury newspaper, and you know the story about Gary. He broke that story where he found out that the CIA working together with the mob working together with the cartels, where trafficking crack cocaine into the country and using that for profits, and they were using that money to fund the Contras, the war. And so Webb's story was revealing, and we all know that the newspapers turned on him. His own newspaper printed it because, look, if he worked for the New York Times or the Washington Post, that story would have never got out. But he worked with the smaller paper. And guess what? He prints the story, and many Americans still, after finding out what happened to him, still they recount on the mainstream media to find reality. But it isn't reality. This story talks about it, and I want to talk about it because Gary Webb here, Gambino talks about drugs and how the Vatican and the government profit from the drug trade, and he said that they make more money than the mob does in it now. Now, they work with the cartels. We know that. After Webb's story came out, it really shook up some people in the CIA because he had it pretty well documented, talking with I think his name was Danilo Blandón, who actually said this, that the government and the drug cartels are pushing crack cocaine into the black neighborhoods for profit, and they're collecting and allowing them to do it. And he said that in open court. So here's what happens. Webb ends up going to Nicaragua. He starts meeting with a couple other cartel insiders there, one who was in prison, who was also a CIA asset. And he even went to places that showed where they used to traffic the drugs and the American pilots who used to come in and take the drugs back into their country, and then the government getting a cut along with the cartels. So he prints this story. And, of course, the CIA is not going to go on the record of this. How are you ever going to get the CIA on the record when it's a secret organization? Well, the San Jose Mercury Times prints the story because Webb had documented it pretty well. It creates a really big stir in the CIA. He, in fact, was asked to go to the CIA and the CIA was trying to convince him not to print the story. So Gary prints the story. Now, here he ends up winning the Pulitzer Prize for this, and it cost him his life as well. But listen what happens in the meantime. So after the story comes out, it is now connecting everybody, the Reagan administration. You know, Reagan came on strong against drugs, right? Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, you got Oliver North and all of these people profiting off this. Oh, my God. So the CIA, they didn't want this out to the American people. Now, let me just say this. that conspiracy theorists, and I'm using that just to define the term, I don't particularly agree that this is a conspiracy, but they were talking about this on the internet and in alternative publications long before Webb prints this story in the mainstream. Now, the only reason the story got printed was because he worked for a smaller newspaper. They want, you know, in a sense, Webb was a bit naive, not understanding how this really works. Now, if he would have understood more, he might have been a little, I don't know, you can't criticize the guy for publishing this and the newspaper. They did a good job. But I don't think they realized what was going to happen. I don't think they even realized the Vatican was involved here. They didn't realize that the Washington Post, the New York Times, and all of these newspapers work hand in hand with the CIA, because what they started to do was discredit Webb. They went into his background, picked up any little thing they could on him. You know, even going back to an affair he had in Cleveland with his wife. I mean, if you want to pick apart a man's life, you can do it to anyone. You to anybody out there listening, you're not, you're part of anybody's life can be picked apart if you really get down to it. So what they do is the CIA begins to discredit this. However, they never went on the record. They just went on the record lying. They, at the meantime, started to go back to these assets, started to go back to their guys who they were working with in the cartels, and getting them to lie, saying, we never talked to Gary Webb. He never came to the prison when he talked to another informant that was working with the cartels that was jailed. Oh, now they're, you know, covering their butt, what they always do. So here's what happens then. The Washington Post, to see all of the, at first he was asked to go on these radio stations, all these big shows, TV, radio, the big newspapers all want a part of him. But then they started to say that his story lacked credibility because he couldn't get anybody on the CIA to comment. Well, what are you talking about? So the Post and their reporters wouldn't give him a fair shake because those editors were contacted by the CIA to say, we got to get rid of this story. Guess what happens in the end? Even the San Jose Mercury paper, the top people there had to get rid of Webb. They had to break ties with him, saying that, and even printed something saying that there were many glaring errors in this story. The only error Webb made was thinking that nothing would happen to him. Now, he did win the Pulitzer Prize, but what happened? He was completely discredited. He lost his job, or he resigned, after his newspaper took the side of the Post, took the side of the CIA, and their last words were, can't you get anybody from the CIA to comment? Well, he did get one person, but they wouldn't go on the record for fear they'd lose their life, and verified what Webb was saying, an ex-CIA guy that worked in this area. That wasn't good enough. Get his name. You know, here's where you understand how the mainstream media works in this country. They work hand in hand with the CIA, our government. They're just mouthpieces. I'm talking about all these big newspapers, all these big radio stations, all these big TV shows. And they discredit Webb. Webb then decides to, he can't get a job anywhere. And, you know, now nobody would hire him, even though he was an excellent reporter. And so he prints a book called Dark Alliance, and the sad tale of the mainstream media's destruction of Gary Webb for reviving the Contra scandal in the 90s. Like I said, it was recounted in this movie, Kill the Messenger. It's an HBO movie. It's a tragic demise of Gary. And guess what happens? In 2004, supposedly, you know, after he printed you can go online and get the PDF, Dark Alliance, a book he printed, because he didn't want to end the story here. He wanted to go deeper and deeper and deeper, and none of the newspapers now, the pressure was on, They're all working together with the government. But Webb ends up, the official report was that he committed suicide. And the coroner said there were two bullet wounds to the head. Now, the question becomes, can a person actually kill himself pulling the trigger twice to the head? Now, I guess you can't, I checked that out, and I guess it can be done, but it's very rare. And I think what it was, it was a hit team that finally got him. After they completely discredited, they weren't going to get him in the beginning because it would have been too obvious. What they had to do is completely discredit him, get him to lose his job, get him to break up with his family. His whole life was destroyed. Then they could say, yeah, he was so despondent he killed himself. That's how they work. But I think it was a hit that was muffed up. Whoever did the hit screwed up and had to shoot twice. It was a terrible hit, so to speak, and the guy who did it shouldn't have got paid. And we're ever going to prove it? Most likely not, and those that get too close will find that they'll get two gunshots in the head. So go to that movie, Kill the Messenger, and you will see what I'm talking about. Now, the Webb story, the reason I bring it up, and let me tell you why, is because I was a mainstream journalist. And when I started in journalism, and I'm going to give you my personal recollections, I really thought that it was the only way we could get to the truth in America. Little did I know when I started in it, it was all corrupt. And I found out when I ended up working for a paper in Florida, I was working on an independent piece regarding a toxic water in a new subdivision. Well, the story never saw the light of day, and I found out that the publisher of the newspaper actually had interest in this new subdivision. So I got fired in the end when I went to the TV station and got them to run it because they didn't like the publisher. So he fired me, and I ended up getting a better job in Michigan that paid twice as much anyway. They were still paying low wages in the South back then. In fact, I got hired by the Nashville Banner, and I was going to get half the money that I would have. That's the big paper in Nashville, and can you imagine how corrupt that thing is? I'm glad I didn't work there. They're going to give me a night job to start out with, but I ended up going up to Michigan and got double the money. Better pay up north. I don't know if that's true anymore. But the point I'm trying to get at is when I went to Rome and worked as an editor in the American newspaper as well as doing stories for the wire service and stuff, I found that the CIA ran that newspaper. It was corrupt as hell. You can go to a story written on May 26, 1982 by UPI when I was almost blown up in a terrorist attack. But I thought at that time, how could they get in that building? I was one of the two people in there and saved my life by 3 seconds. If I was in that hallway, happened to be down in the newsroom and blew up, I'd have been gone. And when I found out that our government was behind this, they could care less if they killed me. Or, you know, they were doing that at the American newspaper. They did it over at an American coffee shop. They did it at an American bookstore. And they had little regard. Your own government, your own CIA, along with the mob in the Vatican, were actually killing people, calling it terrorism. They do the same thing today. And I wanted to bring this up because it dovetails what Tony Gambino was saying. That the Vatican, the mob, our government, the CIA, all of these people work together, including now our newspapers. Now, you think you got it better on the internet? Think again. They knew this was coming. They knew all. You got more reporters out there now, and that's good. You got people out there looking for the truth. You got all these kind of things. So they got to figure out how to marginalize the message. Thus, really true stories get very few hits. They can screw up with your website. Oh, they do a lot of different things. Then to make matters worse, they put people in positions of big, you know, the bigger stations on the internet who actually are gatekeepers. And they'll control what's being said, knowing that most people don't get it. So you are in a mess when it comes to getting the truth. You're going to have to find it out yourself. And what I call use, not only, you know, just like if you're a reporter, and like Webb, how is he going to get the CIA to ever comment? And if editors can't use background information, you know, a private source, then you're never going to get anything. Who is going to go on the record? You think the head of the CIA is going to tell you the truth? And do you even want to go to them? Well, yes, if you're a reporter, you go to them, and the best you can probably get is no comment. Now, if you got a story like Webb got no comment from the CIA, you got informants who are working for the CIA in Nicaragua during this period of time telling you the whole story. He's verified. You go to, he even verified it with some traffickers in America who were working together in the black neighborhoods. They didn't push the crack cocaine into the white neighborhoods. It was into the black neighborhoods. And that created a stir with even some of the black representatives in Congress. They wanted to get to the truth. And finally, guess what happens? After Webb printed Dark Alliance, the book, after he gets killed, during that period of time, John Kerry came out and admitted this goes on. We know it happened. And guess what? It still goes on. They cover it up and say, oh, we found out the problem, but now it's over. No, it's not over. It'll never be over. And if you believe John Kerry, I don't believe, you know, I'd rather believe Tony Gambino than John Kerry or anybody in Hollywood, in the Vatican, at the high levels I'm talking about, or in Washington, or even in your high-level governors, even in your high-level mayors, even in your situation, you know, even in your small little towns, they're all paid off by federal money. Then you get to, like I said, I'm connecting now to add the media to this mix, and you think you're getting the truth on the internet. Well, you can find it, but it's not easy. So what you're going to have to do is realize how this all works. And you're never going to, how can you get all the information with a secret organization? People, you know, have criticized me many times. How come you're one of the few people that talks about, where does this thing, how come you can't get, do you think that these people are actually going to tell you the truth? You got to look at who benefits here. You got to look at how this really works, and you got to be able to make an assumption, a supposition that is most likely true. You think in a case of a civil court, you know, you'd only need a preponderance of the evidence to get a verdict, and that's over 50%. Now, when you're in a criminal case, there's a little higher standard. You got to have reasonable doubt. You got to go a step harder and crimp, they say, but still you're not going to get all of it. And then the point I'm trying to make is use the same standard you use on people like myself, like better report, you know, other reporters that are trying to get to the truth that can give you great information about the Vatican, about all this stuff, even the mob guys. Use that use the same standard you use with the mainstream media. Let them run roughshod over you. But they're big. They're the guy. We believe our government. Yes, they can do this. They can lie. But they're not lying. You are. How can you talk about them that way? That's exactly. It's a double standard. And people, until people realize this, nothing will ever. It may not get better anyway. But I'm telling you, if there were a lot of people, it would slow them down. Slow them down. And that's the best you can ask for, maybe. But at least you can find out some truth for yourself and know how it operates. So when you're on the internet, watch it. Watch it closely. And I'm telling you, they have saturated the internet with, you know, it's even probably, you know, it's even worse. You know the media, the mainstream media, you know what they are. But these guys on the internet that actually lead you down the wrong rabbit hole, they're just as dangerous, and you bet they've got their boys there somewhere and their girls working for them. Back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening. Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, we're back for the second half hour of the Investigative Journal on this February 2nd, 2015 day. Oh, 16 day on our calendar. Greg, come on, get it straight. And we're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com. My show's played every evening from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. that specific time, Monday through Friday, or you can get it at 11 a.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday at FirstAmendmentRadio.com, or please go to my website at ARCTICBEACON.com. Now, another thing, if you want to help the cause, I do take donations on my website to keep it going, and that's because I cannot get a job in the mainstream media. Do you realize I tried a couple times, and all they do is Google, and they say, not this guy. I even sent one guy that was going to hire me the thing about the CIA trying to blow me up. They don't want any part of people like me, and so I take a few donations. Just remember, if you go to First Amendment, you click there, you're going to help that radio station. So that none of the money that goes to First Amendment comes to the broadcasters. So you can go to my website at arcticbeacon.com, and there's a donation button there. That could help. So, and if you don't want to do either, that's fine too. But anyway, let's have some fun now. Get back to Tony Gambino. I got Gary Webb off my chest a little bit. I want to do more on him. And he did some really good stuff. If you don't like to read, which a lot of people don't anymore because of YouTubes, they like pictures. Nothing wrong with that. You can get the HBO movie Kill the Messenger. Not bad. But anyway. Also, one last thing. I brought up Gary Webb because it shows you the real deep corruption and how the Vatican... It just adds the media to this whole mix that Tony Gambino's telling you, that the Vatican and the Mafia and the government work together. Now, we got about 20-some minutes left of this interview we did back in 2007. You'll hear Eric Phelps' voice because I asked him to join me on my show. to interview Tony Gambino, who was fresh out of jail. And I don't know where he is now. This was, what, almost 9 years ago. I heard he might be back in jail again. I'll check that out. But he left off talking about Marilyn Monroe and the Kennedys and Frank Sinatra and a whole bunch of stuff. So let's start it there and move forward with Tony Gambino of the Gambino crime family.
John and Robert. And Marilyn Monroe got pregnant by the Kennedys. And she was going to call Jacqueline Kennedy, and Robert Kennedy's wife let them know that she had an affair with their husbands, and neither one of them two got her pregnant. And the Kennedys are the ones who killed Marilyn Monroe. And Frank Sinatra introduced Marilyn Monroe to Jack Kennedy at the White House. And then he turned around.
Sorry.
Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And then after that happened, my grandfather, you remember when Frank Sinatra's son got kidnapped? Right?
Yes.
Yeah, my grandfather had him kidnapped, and he gave the sands to Frank Sinatra in Vegas because at one time he was the biggest star in Vegas. But then after this happened, Wayne Newton came into the picture, and Wayne Newton became a bigger star in Vegas than Frank Sinatra. And he took the sands back off of Frank Sinatra and made Frank Sinatra pay all that ransom money for his son because of the death of Marilyn Monroe. Because he was still making a lot of money by Frank Sinatra being a movie star and singing and records.
Do you know who they hired to kill Marilyn Monroe? Is that something you were privy to?
They gave Marilyn Monroe them drugs. They did it themselves. Just like Edward Kennedy. Okay. Just like Edward Kennedy. He took that girl up on Cape Cod, right? Up in the Nianas. For some ungodly reason, he put a .22 round through that girl's head. And that's what killed that girl, was the bullet that he put in that girl's head.
So Ed Kennedy shot her. I've heard that before from the coroner, yeah. That's interesting.
Right. And that's where the blood came on her dress and stuff. It came from the head. After that .22 round went through her back of her neck and into her brain. That's
right.
What killed her. And then Edward Kennedy stepped out of that car. He jacked up the gas pedal, and he kicked that gear and car with a stick. And let that car go over the cliff with that girl in it. He never went over that cliff, and he never jumped out of it, and he never rolled out of that car.
Tony, stay on the line. We're going to take a 3-minute break, then we'll be back with Tony Gambino and also Eric John Phelps.
Okay, we took a break there in 2007, but let's get back to that interview.
Okay, we're back on the investigative journal. My guests are Tony Gambino of the infamous Gambino crime family in New York, and also Eric John Phelps, author of Vatican Assassins. We're discussing how the Vatican, how our government, the international intelligence agencies, and the mafia all work together in various activities in our country. How they've had a foothold in Hollywood, how actually Jack Kennedy was killed, and also how Marilyn Monroe met her demise. Tony, when you grow up in the crime family, do you feel you are basically protected by our CIA, protected by top Vatican officials, and also, in a sense, working for them? What goes through your mind when you're doing things on the street? Is that something that you understand as you grow up in the crime family?
Yes. You explain all this, you know, and it all goes under your code, your honor, respect, and yes, and everything around it is we were well protected because of the Vatican, the FBI, the CIA. I mean, its government was making money because my grandfather was making money. Al Capone was making $100 million a week. Chicago alone.
Yeah. See? Unbelievable.
And Carlos Thomas Gambino, right? He was making $55 million a week. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Joey Genovese was making $100 million a week.
Mm-hmm.
And when Vegas opened up, Joey Genovese down there, along with my grandfather, and then of course what's his name? I got a bipolar disorder and a post-traumatic stress from Vietnam, and sometimes I get off track. You know what I mean? But
don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We'll help you along here, and I'm sure. You know, I wanted to say this, and then I'm sure Eric has a couple questions before
Bugsy,
I get into it.
Bugsy, Siegel. And,
okay.
He was part of Vegas. And they used his money and my grandfather's brains.
Yeah, so they used the Jews' money and the brains of the Sicilians.
And that's why the Twin Towers were so powerful, because they were backed by the syndicate too. And there was nothing but Jews working in the Twin Towers, because they controlled the money in the United States. Every Jewish business, when they make their money, they send all their money out of the United States back to their own country. And that's why Hitler went against the Jews, because he needed money for power in Germany, and they were taking the money out of Germany and sending it back to Israel.
Well, of course, there was no Israel at the time, but I guess my question to you, Tony, is...
And there is a Jewish mafia that works along with the Sicilian mafia. Yeah, if you want to be a full-blooded Sicilian like me, you are part Greek, part Italian, and part Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And they went back in the days of Caesar of the Roman Empire. They used to take the Greeks off of the island of Sicily, which were the Sicilians, and put them in the arenas and made them gladiators to kill one another. We were the world's first slaves.
But tell us about Jimmy Hoffa, Tony.
Jimmy Hoffa. Okay. Jimmy Hoffa was a beautiful union organizer for the truckers when he first started out. And then there was a young snot-nosed punk who was on crack cocaine by the name of John Gotti. Well, he turns John Gotti into a truck hijacker. That's all John Gotti did, was smoke crack and hijack trucks. Mm-hmm. Well, one day, a truck was coming up from Florida, and it had a $5.5 million load on it, and it was coming to Nicky Scarfo in Atlantic City.
What was on the truck?
Huh?
What was on the truck?
What was on the truck?
Yes.
Nicky Scarfo started to, Giuseppe and Giovanni Gambino in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, they started supplying the Eastern Seaboard with cocaine and heroin. And my grandfather didn't want this crap, because he said when it first came into effect, coke was always on the scene. So was heroin. But all that stuff was hidden because it was a rich man's high. Your district attorneys used it. Your judges used it. Politicians used it. It was a rich man's high. Okay? And that's where it started at. And the government got involved because the government will not stop the drug wars, and they will not stop drug coming into the United States. What they do is they get these cheap-ass drug dealers, and they pop in once in a while on the streets. But the big dealers and the people who supply them, they keep on letting that stuff come in because they're making money off of it, too.
So it was a truckload of cocaine or heroin that John Gotti hijacked it?
Okay. And John Gotti hijacked this truck. And he wasn't and through a mistake of Jimmy Hoffa, this truck got hijacked. Alright? And Jimmy Hoffa was supposed to make John Gotti make that load good, but he never did. And he had X amount of days, X amount of time to do this. Right? Even if he had to go and order some stuff and bring another truckload up to replace what was stolen. Okay? So what happened was, Jimmy Hoffa, he didn't, anytime somebody owes money, they're supposed to give a courtesy call. And say, like, if you say you're going to win, you owe $2 million. And you're going to say you're going to pay that on the 15th or the 30th of the month. Okay? Now, if you're going to pay that 5th of this month, the 15th day you should have called or courtesy call and say, yo, I got X amount of dollars that I can give you. All right? Mm-hmm. But I will not be able to give you the rest on the 30th. I need more time. That would be accepted. But if you waste somebody's time to come down from over from Sicily or over from another state and have to go and see you to collect this money off of you, and you don't give no courtesy calls and you ain't got it, then they eliminate you. And Jimmy Hoffa owed a lot of money. And he kept on picking around. He gave a date. He went over that date, and he never came up with it. So Jimmy Hoffa was placed in body bags in a limousine at the truck stop on 295 going towards Delaware on New Jersey. That was the last truck stop in New Jersey before you go over the Delaware Memorial Bridge.
Uh-huh.
On 295. There's a campground and everything down there.
Well, where did his body end up?
His body wind up alive in the highest embutment, the concrete embutment of the George Washington Bridge. And a guy who was pouring concrete up there had to jig it because it was a three slump. It was real nice and stiff. And this limousine went up over the bridge. The guy popped the lid to the trunk in the inside of the glove box. They got the live bag of garbage. They stuck him in the embutment. And then he jigged concrete, three slump concrete, down on top of the garbage. All right? And the guy who was pouring the concrete, he got an envelope of $150,000.
So he's never said a word about it, huh?
No. See, they said that the stadium was being built at the time, and they said either the stadium or the George Washington Bridge, but they didn't know. But that's where he's at. He's at the bottom of the highest embutment in the middle of the George Washington Bridge.
What happens to people, Tony? For example, when you talked about the Kennedy assassination, when you talked about Bush knowing about 9/11, when people want to really start talking that know about it, what usually happens to them? I mean, about Hoffa, I'm sure people knew about it. Has anybody you know been eliminated that may have got to the truth about any of these murders that we're talking about?
There was a few people that brought this out in the open, and they were paid to shut up, and some were and assassinated by the Kennedys themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when John Kennedy Smith, he raped that girl in West Palm Beach, Florida, and he got away with it at their estate. The Kennedy's father, my grandfather, always had a vendetta against the Kennedys because they was in the same business, bootlegging.
Mm-hmm.
The Kennedy family, for every bottle of scotch that comes in from Scotland into this country still today, the Kennedys get a dollar off of each bottle.
They have income.
See? And that's how the Kennedy made their money. Bootlegging.
Right. Now, you spent some time away, and now you're back again. Is there any particular reason you're talking now? Are you worried about it, about coming forward with a lot of this stuff?
No, I ain't worrying about it because the United States government ought to be put down. You know what I mean? Because they're more crooked than the mafia. It's all nothing but one hand washing the other, and it's starting with the Pentagon, and it's working along with the, you know, the United States gave Bin Laden money, right?
That's right.
Okay? Am I right or wrong?
Right.
All right. The United States gave Germany money.
Right.
To Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
The United States knew that Japanese were going to bomb Pearl Harbor. The Japanese ambassador was sitting right in the White House when it happened. Everybody's saying, oh, we ordered a new plane. The planes were coming in to bomb Pearl Harbor. They said, oh, there are new American planes coming in. The United States allowed the Japanese to bomb Pearl Harbor. So they can get in the war. And then Roosevelt, in 1933, he bankrupts the United States because he gets involved with Germany. Germany didn't do anything to us. The United States government puts their noses in wars and in countries that they ain't got no business doing. I went to Vietnam. I put 4 years in Vietnam. I wasn't allowed to shoot in the rubber trees where these goofs were shooting at me. Richie Capizzi got loose with an M60 machine gun because he couldn't take it no more. And the tracers put some trees on fire, and he knocked some trees down. The United States government gave this man a life sentence because he couldn't pay that he died. And all the rubber that them trees would make for 20 years.
Huh. Are you there?
Yeah. Are you there, Tony?
Tony, there. Tony, are you there? I think he got cut off. But anyway, Eric, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, let's continue on till we get Tony back on. I think somehow he must have hit the phone. Tony, are you there? Well, anyway, we'll get to, if we don't get, hopefully we'll get him back on. Eric, an incredible story, though, isn't it? That a guy like Tony Gambino, one of the inside, he's a made man, one of the top guys in the market. Tony, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you're back. We were just commenting, you were cut off there for a moment. I wanted to mention, today as we speak, the mob is still as strong as ever, working together with the CIA, working together with the Vatican.
Up in Sicily, yes.
Okay.
But not in the United States.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, most of the mafia in the United States now is nothing but big business.
Okay.
Okay. Casinos, hotels, different types of companies that they invested in, just like Governor Rich, when he was governor of Pennsylvania. He was getting all this federal funded money to build prisons in Pennsylvania. But I like to know one thing. How did Governor Plains of Pennsylvania on the Wall Street, on the stock market, using federal funded money.
Right. So basically, the mafia's turned into big business now.
That's correct, in
that's
the United States.
And the old system that you work with is basically not functioning the same way on the streets, correct?
No, because, you take like these two punks that we had in Philadelphia, John Stafford and Joey Skinny Marino. Joey Skinny Marino started having shootouts in the afternoon. South Philadelphia. John Stafford, he tried to kill Joey Skinny Marino on the Benjamin Franklin Bridge. He had some guys go over there, Johnny Rosario. And he tried to have Johnny Rosario shoot at Joey Skinny Marino. As he was going over to Jersey, they were coming over to Philadelphia, and they're shooting on top of cars and everything at 12 o'clock in the afternoon trying to kill this guy on the Wobbleman Bridge. Well, that's the same bullshit that Gotti was starting on the streets.
Okay, so we got about 7 or 8 minutes left. And maybe I'll just play that tomorrow just to get it all done. Tony Gambino, an interview I did in 2007 with Eric Phelps. We'll be back tomorrow on the Investigative Journals. Have a good evening. On this February 2nd, 2016 day on our calendar. Good night.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it, to secure the blessings of liberty.